I'm Tanzina Vega, and you're listening to The Takeaway. All this week, we've been checking in on emerging hotspots for the COVID-19 crisis, from Texas to New Mexico and Arizona. And today we go to one of the hardest hit states, Florida, where differences between Governor Ron DeSantis and local leaders are leaving Floridians stuck in the middle. On Wednesday, Florida recorded 6,500 new cases of COVID-19, bringing the state's total to nearly 160,000 cases since the pandemic began. More than 3,500 people have died. But Governor DeSantis has refused to take any more steps to close businesses or put in place any stay-at-home orders to mitigate the spread of the coronavirus. The city of Miami, however, has begun taking emergency measures to slow the spread of the virus by requiring all residents to wear masks or face coverings. The city also enacted a mandatory 10-day closure for businesses that don't comply with the emergency guidelines. So we decided to talk to
Francis Suarez, the mayor of the city of Miami.
And I asked Mayor Suarez to tell me what the latest was on the virus in his city.
Well, we just came off a very difficult week where we sort of shattered records, not in a good way. Our high water mark in late March, early April, before we implemented a stay-at-home order was 533 cases. This week we had one day where we had 1,500 cases, and we had another day where we had 2,100 cases. So you're talking about a 3x and a 4x in new cases from the high water mark when we implemented a stay-at-home order in late March, early April. So, you know, we are obviously extremely concerned about that. We're seeing our hospitalizations go up, our ventilators go up, our ICUs go up. And that's also a concern because, everything that we've seen in terms of this disease, this virus, indicates that the death rate is somewhere in the vicinity of 3% of those that contract it. But if our hospitals are stressed, that death rate can climb to 8%, 12%, 14%, as it has in other parts of the world, in Italy and Spain, and in other parts of the U.S., in New York, with an 8%, mortality rate. So, it's a major concern. We are taking some steps to address that, and we're hopeful that, we're able to get control of it.
Mayor, you mentioned New York, and I was here during the peak of the crisis when we were the epicenter of this pandemic back earlier this spring. The mood in New York City around that time was one of just fear, concern, and constant images coming out of hospitals and ICUs and emergency rooms that were at capacity in certain neighborhoods. What is the mood in Miami right now? Are Floridians aware of the extent of the rise that is happening around them?
I don't think the mood is as apoplectic as it was in New York during that time, because we're not yet, and hopefully won't see images of, overburdened ICUs and hospitals and that sort of thing. But we are, I think one of the things that's happening now, and it's even different from that time, is, it seems to be that younger people are getting sick. And that means that less of them are going to the hospitals. Also, the hospital system and doctors are significantly better today at treating the virus than they were a few months ago. And that's evidenced by the much lower percentage of people that are on ventilators, even though you have a similar hospitalization rate to March and April. So, I think Miamians are, still not 100% in sort of a panic mode. But if things continue to get worse, I think we're going to see the kinds of images that we saw in New York. We could see them, and that could certainly increase the anxiety and the fear among our residents.
Mayor Suarez, what is leading to this spike that we're seeing right now? Because we know that a lot of states, including Florida, started reopening a couple of weeks ago. Businesses started reopening and inviting guests in restaurants, for example. Is that part of what happened here? Was it too soon to reopen? And is that what you're witnessing happening as far as this increase in cases?
I'm not sure that it was too soon to reopen. I mean, it's hard to gauge when is the appropriate time to reopen. We looked at the criteria that was established by the White House, which was, what everyone was essentially going by, which was the two consecutive weeks of declining cases. We actually had over 30 days of declining cases, and our cases were consistently below 200 per day. Now, obviously, we had 2,000, which is 10 times that amount this week. But I think what happened was when we opened, you know, the behavior of people in opening was just as if COVID didn't exist. And I think that's something that's very hard to control. We tried to message it right. We were the last city in Florida to open. We opened later than the county, which opened the tri-county area, opened later than the rest of the state. So we were extremely careful and cautious in reopening. And I was criticized, by the way, for waiting as long as I did. But the truth is that, you know, it really comes down to behavior. At the end of the day, it depends on what people do. If people listen, if they don't congregate, if they wear masks, if they wear gloves, if they distance themselves and then stay at home when they can, the chances of the disease continuing to grow are little. The problem is this is a highly infectious disease. It's incredibly efficient at spreading. It doesn't require a lot of contact, at least anecdotally from things that I hear from people. I got it. And I, you know, was not in any sort of significant contact that I know of with anyone who was positive. And you know, it may have been, it was, a, you know, the press secretary of the president. I may have shaken his hand a couple times. You know, we may have been in a close proximity in early March. And that's all it took for me to get it. So, you know, I think it's highly infectious. And, you know, I think people need to act as if everyone who they could encounter in public may have the disease.
Mayor Suarez, you mentioned that you yourself tested positive for COVID-19 back in March. Are you fully recovered?
I am. And, you know, one of the things that's interesting, and you know, there may be examples of this in other parts of the country, but, you know, we have in Florida, I want to say somewhere in the vicinity of 140,000 positive cases. And I asked the Department of Health on Monday, you know, how many of those 140,000 positive cases are double positives? In other words, somebody who has become positive, you know, became negative, and then later on contracted it again. And they told me that so far the number is zero. So that's an interesting statistic, because it will be interesting to see what level of immunity somebody has who has contracted the virus. You know, obviously I donated plasma when I tested negative twice in a row and in two consecutive days. And I have tested since then and continue to test negative. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that evolves going forward.
We're talking about behavior, Mayor Suarez. And while we can't control what everyone does at all times, you mentioned a lot of the guidelines that have to be implemented in order for people to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Some of those guidelines include wearing masks and continuing to social distance. How are those guidelines being enforced right now in Miami? Are they being enforced? Because at the end of the day, we can ask people to do something, but as we've seen, people are going to do what they want to do unless there is some enforcement mechanism.
Yeah, that's true. And that's very possible. I will say that when we implemented the stay-at-home order, I'd say a vast majority of people actually listened and they were compliant. And we didn't go door-to-door to make sure people were at home. You know, we implemented last Thursday a mask in public rule. That same day, our city commission passed an emergency ordinance creating a fining system. So if you're caught or if you're, you know, not wearing a mask in public the first time, you get a warning. And actually, we're giving our police officers masks so they can also give them to the people. We don't want to just have a stick approach. We want to be able to give people the masks that they need. And I've been distributing them in the areas where they're the highest incidence by zip code. And then the second instance is a $50 fine, then a $150 fine, then up to a $500 fine. So we are actually, you know, going to be fining people just like you would if you're not wearing your seatbelt, just like you would if you run a red light or run a stop sign. You know what I mean? I mean, people get very worked up about some of these rules. And I tell people, look, this is no different than our government trying to protect you in a variety of different circumstances. And by the way, it's different. And the only thing way that it's different is that it's temporary as opposed to a seatbelt rule, which is permanent. You know, when you're wearing a seatbelt in a car accident, it doesn't guarantee you're going to survive, but it increases your chances. And so we as a society have decided that everyone needs to wear it. It's the same thing. You know, we want to protect people not only from others, but others from them. The other thing we're doing is with businesses, because we also have seen restaurants that have sort of converted themselves into nightclubs, we are requiring those establishments to comply. Otherwise, they're going to get shut down for 10 days in a first occurrence, 15 days in a second occurrence, and 30 days in a third occurrence. So what happens is if a restaurant, if we got a complaint, social media, someone sends us a picture or a video of a restaurant, we go out there. If they're not compliant, we shut them down. The next day, if they comply, if they rearrange their tables, they can reopen. And so now what we're saying is, no, you know, we want to associate a penalty with noncompliance, because otherwise people will just not comply and then open the next day. And that just creates more hassle for us, more enforcement for us. And it also sends the wrong message.
Mayor, the Latino population has been especially hard hit by the coronavirus in some cities around the United States. Miami is a majority Latino city. What is being done to protect this group in particular, if anything?
For us, being Latino, being Hispanic, being of a different nationality is the norm, not the exception for us. And what we're doing is, and the only thing we can do, because the Department of Health has limited the information that we receive for HIPAA reasons.
How so, Mayor? How so has the Department of Health limited what information you receive?
Well, for HIPAA reasons, we can't, for example, you know, unfortunately, or we're trying to push them to give us, you know, a little more targeted information. But right now, what we have is, we know the zip codes where the highest incidents are. But I'd like to know, I'd love to be able to say, within, can we get like a heat map based on the contact tracers of where do people feel that they contracted it? We're asking for the occupations of the people who have gotten it to see if there's any patterns. Are they people that work in restaurants? Are they people that work in supermarkets? So we're trying to create correlations between the people that are getting sick and what they do without violating their HIPAA, their privacy. And so that's what we're working with the Department of Health, and we're hoping to get more of that information in the coming days so that we can be more targeted in our response to help people.
Now, speaking of that type of targeting, I wonder if you could speak a little bit about how Governor DeSantis has handled this coronavirus pandemic so far. The governor made some comments blaming, quote, Hispanic farm workers for the rise in cases. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't think that's good. I don't agree with that. You know, I think, listen, there are a variety of subpopulations that you'll see outbreaks, and that happens. That's normal in a sense in when you have a pandemic. So I wouldn't single out any particular ethnic group or any particular, you know, subpopulation. I think, you know, outbreaks can happen in a variety of different contexts. You know, people who are farm workers are hardworking people who are trying to make a living and trying to provide for their families, like so many others in today's day and age and in this pandemic. And that's really one of the challenges that we have, which is how do we manage the economic impact of COVID-19 with the health impact? And the health impact doesn't interact with the economy. I mean, the COVID, the virus doesn't care what it destroys, who it kills, you know, what aspects of our quality of life it affects. And our economy doesn't understand or relate to the fact that there's a virus out there. And so we have to make sure that we protect people. So it's very, very difficult to mix two things that are basically oil and water and try to continue to keep our society going in a way that doesn't hurt more people.
Mayor, the beaches in Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and Palm Beach will be closed for this upcoming July 4th weekend, but just for the weekend. Would you consider a longer shutdown extension of the beaches?
You know, the beaches are basically controlled by Miami-Dade County and by the mayor of Miami Beach, which are the big sort of tourist beaches. We have a beach, which is a small beach called Virginia Key, and it's also closed. You know, I think anywhere where there are large congregations of people, we have to consider closing them. And we do that, by the way, because we have not entered into phase three. So movie theaters are closed, bars are closed, and they've always been closed. And of course, sports entertainment facilities and venues like the American Airlines Arena is closed. So anywhere where there's a large congregation of people, we have to seriously consider not having open.
Mayor, when I spoke with you back in 2018 in Miami, we were over at WLRN. Miami was just recovering from Hurricane Irma, and you spoke about resiliency back then. We are now a month into hurricane season. I'm wondering whether Miami is ready for hurricane season on top of a global pandemic. So far, hurricane season has been relatively quiet, but it is, as we know, you can never tell.
I'm knocking on wood. That's what I'm doing there. Yes, it has been relatively quiet, and we hope it stays that way. Certainly, we've dealt with a lot of adverse situations this year, and we're hopeful that Mother Nature doesn't throw another one our way. You know, but Miami has demonstrated over time that we're extremely capable of preparing for storms and megastorms. From an infrastructure perspective, we still have a long way to go, and we're lucky that we have resources. We have a Miami Forever bond that we're going to begin spending down, hopefully in September. But that's a process that's going to take years, and we're hopefully going to be ready from an infrastructure perspective to deal with an Irma-like event, which produced 6 to 8 foot storm surges, where we would struggle, and I think any city in the world would struggle, is with a Dorian-like event, where you have a Category 5 hurricane that sits on top of you for 2 days and produces 18 to 25 foot storm surge. I don't know that there's any place on the planet that's prepared for something like that. And, you know, we've got to continue the process of building our infrastructure so that we can be here, as our sort of branding indicates, that we can be here forever. That's our objective.
And lastly, Mayor, we've been in talking to different people on the show about this moment, which is so difficult for so many people. No matter how you look at it, this is just a really hard time that a lot of us are going through. And so we're asking people what they're doing to find moments of joy. And it could be the smallest thing on a daily basis. If there's something that you are doing to find joy and hope in this moment right now, Mayor Suarez.
I think the biggest thing that's happening in our community is that we are spending more time with our families. Because many of us are working at home, myself included, I'm at home right now. I get to see my kids so much more than I would otherwise. I think also people are spending more time outdoors. You know, when we had stay-at-home orders, you know, the amount of people that were walking, that were biking, that were running, you know, increased tremendously. So I think we're, you know, getting in touch with Mother Nature. We're getting in touch with our families. And I think that's an incredibly positive, uplifting, and inspiring thing in the midst and in the context of these very difficult times.
Francis Suarez is the mayor of Miami. Mayor Suarez, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.